Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. I'm Chris Manning, your host, happy to bring you your team every day. Today is Monday, June 19th. It's been a couple days since we talked. Obviously, last week we talked to Daniel Rao to wrap up the season, and now we're in fall off-season mode. Stuff is already happening. We're already seeing Paul George talks. We're already seeing draft talk with teams the Cavs are going up against, being involved in some pretty significant trades with Boston looking to move on from their number one pick. But today's Monday. That means it's a mailbag. I got a lot of great questions in from you guys out there about the Cavs, about Paul George, about the offseason. A quick tease of what's coming up this week. Tomorrow, Caitlin Cooper from the great site Indie Cornrows are going to come on to talk about everything draft. We'll not have a show Wednesday, but we'll have a draft preview show up Thursday with Trevor Magnotti, draft recap on Friday, one way or the other. And we'll also start player reviews, hopefully on Friday, perhaps next Monday. We'll be going through everyone on the roster. James Jones probably won't be covered. Dante Jones probably won't be covered. But Ty Lue, Kay Felder, Kyrie Irving, LeBron, Kevin Love, all those guys, Tristan Thompson, will be covered. We'll obviously update any news on David Griffin as that comes out, as that develops, as we see if the Cavs have a new GM, if they sign him to a new lucrative contract in the coming days. But before we get into everything, I want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Now, SeatGeek's the best way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your smartphone. You can get it on any iPhone, any Android. You can go online to SeatGeek.com. And you can find tickets to anything. You're getting a deal score, so you know you're getting the best deal possible. You can see the view from your seat, and you're getting all the deals from all the biggest sites. So you're not gonna, you know you're not going to miss out on the best deal possible. You can buy a ticket on SeatGeek with two taps. All you got to do is just go on the phone, find the ticket you want, tap it twice, and that ticket's yours. I love SeatGeek. If I need tickets for anything, I use SeatGeek. I've got it for Migos tickets. I've got it for Run the Jewels tickets, Indians tickets, Cavs tickets. And I'm using it to go see the Minimalists in Cleveland in a couple weeks. So that'll be great. And I'm excited for it. And I wouldn't be going if I didn't have SeatGeek to help me get tickets to go see the Minimalists at the House of Blues. And today, if you want to use SeatGeek, try it out for the first time. Use the promo code LOCAVS. That's LOCAVS. Save $20 on that first purchase. And go see something cool you want to see. The Indians are playing now. You can focus on baseball now that Cavs season's over. Or you can be like me and go see a live podcast. But use SeatGeek, it's great, you won't regret it, and save $20 by using that promo code LOCAVS. And now we'll get into today's questions. The first one comes from Ryan Hitchens at Ryan_Hitchens3 on Twitter. He asks, is it 100% we have to trade K-Love or theoretically one of the big three for PG, or are there other options? So I think if you're trading for Paul George, I think you have to trade one of Love or Kyrie. Now, mathematically, you could do Channing Frye and Amon Shumpert. That works. Indiana would be insane to take that. You're not trading LeBron. I don't think Tristan Thompson has the same type of value to any other team that he does the Cavs. So I don't think he's someone, even though his salary is quite high and it would match, you know, it doesn't quite work. I think if you're getting Paul George, You're getting rid of one of your big three, although that's not, I think, the best scenario, but I think it's likely. I think in a perfect world next year, you're running out a starting five of Kyrie and JR and LeBron and Paul George and Kevin Love for the Cavs. That's what you want, but that's not likely. So you're probably getting rid of Kevin Love. Now, does Indiana want him? Do you have to do a three-team deal? I don't think there are other options. I think in all likelihood, if the Cavs want him, it's going to be involving Kevin Love going somewhere. I don't necessarily believe that's Indiana. I could see another team that wants him and wants that to use him as a way to get a star and maybe offload some of their younger, more expensive talent. A team like Portland comes to mind. That's kind of where I think it comes from. I think you would have to deal one of the big three. Another question from Twitter comes from Mr. Andrew Har. He asks, could you talk about what contract options the Cavs should offer Korver? They have his bird rights, don't they? So yes, they do have his full bird rights. That means even though the Cavs are well over the cap and going to be paying the luxury tax again, they can go over to pay Kyle Korver. Now, Korver's profile is a guy who I think still has a lot of value. He is certainly a one-way player. He's going to fit that one side of the ball as a shooter. He's 36. He kind of seems like he wants to come back. It seems he's hinted at this. He seems like a guy who really did enjoy his time here. When I've talked to him, he did seem to kind of to like the environment more so than I think a lot of guys did. And the Cavs, per a report from Joe Varden, they're intent on bringing him back. So we'll see how much he asked for. Now, if I was him, I would not be asking for the minimum. I don't think you could get the Cavs to give him $10 million. I don't think you're gonna have a team like the Cavs give him a ton of money, but I think if he asked for somewhere 5 to 6, I think that's reasonable. His contract this past year was for $5.239 million. I think maybe a slight raise from that, even though he is 36, on a 2-year deal would make some sense. Maybe $8 million per. I wouldn't go much higher than that. I don't think you want to spend all of your money on that on him in that way. But you are sort of capped out. You can't go sign a PJ Tucker, most likely, or a James Johnson, you know, unless they're going to take the mid-level, which the Cavs do have. Or they might have used it to get Chetty over as well. That complicates things. So Korver is a guy that has a lot of value, is going to provide spacing, can fit in bench units really well, can, I think, still defend against most teams. I think he had an unfortunate performance in the finals, but I don't think, you know, he can't do better than that. You have to wonder, he's going to be 37 next year, next March. He's already going to struggle as a defender, going to really struggle against Clay. I think he has value. I don't think you want to spend too much, but I think a 2-year deal maybe with a player option for the second $7-8 million a year would make some sense for both sides. He gets a small raise, he gets to compete for a title, and the Cavs keep a guy that they gave up a first-round pick for and can still fit on their second units really well and space the floor around LeBron James. And against most teams for most of the year, you can hide him on other players, and that can work. Brittany Hayes asked via email, do you think the Cavs GM, whether it is Griff or someone else, will try to get into this year's draft? I wonder about this too. This is something that I don't know. I don't have a good read on this. The Kay Felder thing surprised me last year, but I will say that it wouldn't shock me if they did get involved somehow. Now, could that be dumping a player to get a first round pick? Maybe, if they really like somebody. That to me doesn't seem super likely. More likely than not, if they're going to get in the draft, it's going to be like last year where they buy a pick. Or maybe if there's a Paul George deal that happens on draft night, they get involved by trading someone, they get a pick back in that deal, and or a team selects a player on their behalf, and that's how that works. That could happen. And all good, I would expect that they would buy a pick like they did last year. They paid $2.2 million last year to get the pick that turned into Kay Felder. They bought that from the Hawks. They could do that again if they really like somebody. I wonder if they would, just because that is a lot of money, and they didn't really utilize Felder after paying for him and then signing him to a longer deal by using part of their mid-level. But I think they could. I think it would make some sense. I think you want to get some young talent. I think even if it's a guy that you signed to a two-way contract, I think there's value to that. You can have him develop in the D-League. You can maybe turn him into a rotation player for the year after while you bank on a veteran guy for this year. I think you want to start trying to develop young talent. I think that's something you want to do. I don't 100% know for sure if they'll do that, but I think it would make some sense. I think it's more likely than not that it would, though, be more like last year where you're taking a chance on a second-round guy. You see if he can work out. You see if you can find a diamond in the rough. You see how it happens, but I think it just depends on circumstances, and this is going to be a night-of thing more so than them, you know, making a deal on Monday or Tuesday. It's going to be draft night, probably later in the night, maybe 10 o'clock or so as we're deep into the second round by that point. The next question comes from email from Young Caprio. The question is, if the Cavs trade Love for Paul George, how much better of a chance do they have to beat Golden State? Would that be enough, or the Cavs have to find a way to keep Love as well? So I think you would, in an ideal situation, keep Kevin Love. I just, again, don't think that is a very likely scenario. I think getting Paul George would make you better on defense because he's going to be able to guard KD. That allows LeBron to go guard probably Draymond in most situations where he can roam off and cause some more chaos. The Cavs did that in Game 4 and it worked. They can't do it all the time, and it's going to keep LeBron more fresh. Offensively, I think you would have to figure things out there. George is a guy who is pretty ball dominant. Has been very ball dominant with the Pacers. How does he fit with Kyrie and LeBron? And, you know, does that push Kyrie back there? I think the offense would maybe be more dynamic in some ways, but I think you'd have an adjustment period, not totally dissimilar to the one you've had with Kevin Love the last couple of years, where it took till this year for Love to really be integrated in the best way, and even not to the extent we might have thought he would. I think defensively makes you better. I think he makes you more versatile overall. I think in some ways he'd be an upgrade. You'd lose out on rebounding. You'd have to kind of get him to fit and take your time to make that work. But I think in an ideal world you want Love to. I just don't think that's really possible at all, if we're being honest. Kevin Snakewoods asks, do you think Paul George would sign a longer deal with the Cavs? So I don't know this. I don't want to speak to Paul George's knowledge or anything like that, but Dave McMenamin from ESPN did have a report that said that Paul George, he would, in all likelihood, the Cavs, it seems, would not be hesitant to deal for him without him signing an extension because they believe they could get him to resign and commit long term, because they've had guys come in and be engaged and be willing, and they love it, the environment. And I think it is a very positive environment, especially the last year and a half since Channing Frye and RJ have really kind of brought some levity to that locker room. So I think it's possible, but if he wants to go to LA, he wants to go to LA. If you trade for Paul George, I think you have to be comfortable with the fact that it could be a rental and that you traded a cost-controlled Kevin Love, who is a very good player, for 1 year of Paul George. So you kind of have to just kind of consider the dualities of that situation. Got a couple questions about free agents, so I'm going to run through kind of them all at once here. Buckeye NVA asked, what do the Cavs do about frontline if Love goes in a trade? Kevin asked, realistic free agent targets. Akash and Avartharin, which I mispronounced his last name, I'm sure, but I try. PG's adding, Caleb is gone. What big man options do they pursue in the free agent market? And Perry Kellis, glad to have Perry back asking questions. It's been a while, Perry. He asked, I know this player might get laughed at as far as the fit, but LOL, but he's probably going to be on his way out of the league. What do you think of Michael Carter-Williams in free agency? Would make a good for a good defender who can guard multiple positions. Again, he's just about awful offensively, but what do you think of him? So let's start with the big men. You know, I think they made an interesting move in getting an Eddie Tavares. I think He is a guy that has a lot of upside. He was the D-League Defensive Player of the Year. He's improved a lot since he's with the Hawks. He's mammoth. Seeing him in person, in terms of actual NBA players, that when I've interviewed them and been and just kind of walked past them, and just in general, he was about as big as Zach Randolph. And in terms of me just being, oh my God, that's a very large human being. He's massive. He's very wide. He doesn't, you know, he moves fairly well for being that big. I think you would see him get some minutes, at least to give Tristan Thompson a break. You'd probably see them just take chances on older guys that would be a minimum contract. So maybe they call David West, although he'd probably go back to Golden State. Maybe they look at Jared Sullinger, who wasn't. Maybe Mo Spates leaves the Clippers and they look at him and he comes back to Cleveland. Maybe Donis Mantiunas is someone they look at. It'd be guys further than the list, guys you get on the minimum for cheap. You're not going to have the ability to go out and sign anyone to a lot of money. You're going to be looking at guys you can get on minimum deals, or maybe use the mid-level on a big if Kevin Love goes. But I think you've signed Eddie Tavares for a reason. I'd expect to see him in summer league. I'd expect to see the Cavs try to get something out of him. I think they'll call, you know, maybe guys that are out of their price range, so a Drew Epco, a Patrick Patterson. They do their due diligence, see what they can do there. And Amir Johnson and Nene would kind of fall in that category as well. But those guys are probably going to get more money than the Cavs can really pay. They're just not going to have the money to go out and replace a lot of this. I'm sure they would call Taj Gibson, but Taj Gibson's going to get more money than the Cavs are really going to be willing to and be able to offer. And maybe Dwayne Dedman, you know, I mean, he made 2.8 last year, maybe the Spurs bring him back, but he's a big you could call as well, kind of fitting those mold. But that's the kind of guy you're going to call. You're not going to get anyone nearly as good as Kevin Love. That's, you know, shouldn't be a surprise. So that puts you in the spot of calling veterans, of calling older guys that you can get on minimum deals, and or for maybe a little bit more than that. And you're taking the chance that they can just fill a specific role and figure out what actually works for them. You're not getting anyone, again, nearly as good. And maybe Derek Williams is back as well. It wouldn't shock me if he's back and is playing some 4 minutes for the Cavs. I mean, as for Perry's question about Michael Carter-Williams, he is a restricted free agent. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, who his team is going to match him. I don't know if that makes sense for them to do, because he is sort of a limited guy. He's not a particularly versatile offensive player. You know, plays for the Bulls and they have other guards, and it is what it is. But I don't hate it. You know, he's 6'6". He can dribble. He at least can pass, and he can defend multiple spots. I think if you could make him into a little better shooter in your system, it could work. I don't, you know, if it comes at the right price and you could rehabilitate him for a year, that's not bad. But if you look at his just shooting numbers with the Bulls last year, 36.6% from the field, 23.4% from three, and 1.4 attempts per game. He's not going to be able to fill that deli role, or even really that Darren Williams role where he can hit open shots and hit threes around LeBron James. And that's something the Cavs always look for. So I don't hate it defensively. I kind of like the idea of getting a guy like that who is uber versatile and can help in that way. But there are just a lot of downsides to him and what he can bring on the offensive end. So wouldn't hate it, but I think there are better ways to approach that. Next question comes from Yadish024. Do you think PG's athleticism, two-way play, shooting, and ability to keep pace with Golden State is enough to trade Love? I think that's what you're betting on. I don't know if it ultimately is enough, because I think Golden State's still going to have options. I think, again, you want to have those guys all together, but I think it gives you a better chance. That's kind of where I come down on it, without having thought about this a lot, without having done a deep dive into just kind of the scheme and looking into some of that. But I do think there's a chance it could help, and it's going to certainly, I think, unlock you more defensively than Love ever can. Have to figure out the offensive fit, his ability to play two ways and to shoot and to run and to let LeBron not guard Kevin Durant, I think would be really, really important for the Cavs. Would it be enough? I don't know, but it couldn't hurt. And I think that's kind of what you're betting on there. and you hope it's enough. I don't know. We wouldn't know until next June. My guess would still be a little bit no. I think it gives you a better shot. I think the Cavs are still really, really good. I think you have LeBron James. You're still going to be in a really good spot. But we'll see. We'll see if it is ultimately enough, and we'll see if they could, you know, maybe get him to re-sign. Last question we have comes from Patrick Shannon. He writes in an email, "I keep seeing a lot of chatter about a trade to the Pacers for Paul George in exchange for K-Love. I don't know how much I buy into that. It's really possible." This article from The Ringer, if you link to this thing that they wrote in The Ringer, is great. Shout out to The Ringer. "Zeb's is certain it's the only way for the Cavs to improve, and as well as a win for the Pacers as well." He says, "I took it seriously until I saw him suggest starting RJ or D. Will. I'm very confused because I respect these guys' takes. Usually, what do you think? Any possibility this happens? If it does, what kind of effect do you think it'd have on the roster / lineups going into next year?" I think Kyrie be around. You're starting Kyrie. I don't think you're trading Kyrie. I would venture to say that there's one truly untouchable person on the roster. You can guess who that is. Kyrie would be a second. He's younger than Love. He's the guy they drafted number one. And it's not a perfect analogy, obviously, but he's the Kobe to LeBron, Shaq. Love is not really in that dynamic as much, and they've built the team around what Kyrie does way more than they've done Love. Anyone who's watched the team knows that. Paul George probably is the only way for them to really improve. I mean, I just don't know. If you're looking at the role player market, does Vince Carter help you that much? Does some of the other names we've talked about here actually help you that much? Can you actually turn Amon Shumpert into something would be a big question. I sort of doubt it. Paul George would unlock a lot of defensive utility. He would give you a guy to let LeBron rest during the regular season. He'd definitely, I think, be the second best player almost immediately. I think he's better than Kyrie just because of his defensive impact and versatility on that end of the floor, in addition to what he can do on the offensive end. I think he'd be a really interesting compliment for LeBron at this stage in his career. I just don't know how else you're bolstering the roster. If you're the Cavs and you're trying to compete with Golden State, and that is your objective, and that is their one objective, what else are you doing that actually can get you there? Signing peripheral role guys is not a way to do it. I think someone like PG Tucker would be a great offseason signing if you can get him for that mid-level. Does he actually get you to a spot where it's actually making a huge difference? Is he the difference in that series? Is Eddie Tavares actually a difference in that series? Does finding someone to fill those backup point guard minutes better actually help you in that series? Maybe they would do a deal for Chris Middleton in some capacity, but Milwaukee probably wouldn't do that. And maybe that would help as well, and maybe theoretically you could keep what you have. There's just a lot there that I just don't think makes a lot of sense for any team but the Cavs. A lot of the deals that the Cavs would really want to make and get rid of different pieces and get made out of Shumpert's contract and whatnot, there's just not going to be necessarily a lot you're going to be able to get out of anything that doesn't involve trading for Kevin Love or trading for Paul George, excuse me. If you're not trading for Paul George, you're not getting anyone that's going to impact the game quite in the same way. There's just no way around that. There is functionally just no way around the idea that the best deal they can make is to get Paul George. He's the best way to improve. I think you can marginally improve on the role player end, but if you want to significantly improve, it's probably taking the risk that Paul George is enough. And then it maximizes LeBron in a way Love hasn't in this NBA, in this context. And that's the difference. I don't know if that's the difference. I think Golden State's still going to be a huge challenge no matter who they add, just because they're incredible. But maybe George is the risk you take, and it wouldn't shock me if we see something significant from the Cavs this summer. But that's been today's mailbag. Thank you guys so much for submitting those questions. We'll do another one of these again soon. So drop them into lockdowncavs@gmail.com over at r/Cleveland Cavs. And to Locked On Cavs on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at CWM Rights. Again, Caitlin Cooper from Indie Cornrows will be the guest tomorrow. And if you have any show ideas or anything you want me to cover in addition to what we've talked about here, drop me an email, lockdowncavs@gmail.com. I'm happy to do that. And make sure to check out Fearless Order as well. I have a ton of draft coverage coming up and all of that. But this has been Locked On Cavs. Thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring the show. Use that promo code LOCAST for $20 off your first purchase. And we'll be back tomorrow with Caitlin Cooper from IndieCornrows.com, diving more into the Paul George talks and if it's actually realistic that the Cavs could do it and why or why not the Pacers would negotiate with the Cavs for a likely Kevin Love centered deal. Talk to you guys again tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.